Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so something interesting happened this year with AI test generation. And I don't mean interesting in the vague sense. I mean the tooling actually grew up. Let me explain what I mean by that. A year ago, AI test generation was basically fancy autocomplete. You'd get suggestions that looked plausible but tested nothing. The code compiled. It ran. But it didn't actually verify your functions did what they were supposed to do. That's changed. There's a new comprehensive guide out this week comparing the top AI test generation tools, and the gap between what works and what doesn't is enormous. CodoGen is leading the pack right now, multi-language support, Python, JavaScript, TypeScript, Java. But here's what makes it different. It uses behavioral analysis to understand what your functions actually do, not just pattern matching on training data. It's generating tests that teams are actually using, 40 to 70% faster test coverage than writing manually. And the tests catch real bugs. On first run, for enterprise Java teams, there's DiffBlue cover. This one goes even further. Fully autonomous test generation. No developer interaction needed. You point it at a legacy codebase and tell it your coverage goals. It handles the rest. The takeaway? If you're still manually writing unit tests for greenfield projects, you're burning time you don't need to burn. The tools have caught up, but, and this is important, not all tools are equal. Some are still generating boilerplate that compiles but tests nothing. So if you're evaluating these, actually run the tests. See if they catch real bugs. Don't just check if they compile. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Okay, completely different corner of the tech world now. Quantum computing. Researchers just confirmed something the quantum community has quietly worried about for a while. The simulators we use to test quantum algorithms are fundamentally broken. A new study identified 394 confirmed bugs across 12 open-source quantum simulators. And here's the scary bit. These aren't bugs that crash the system. They're silent failures. The simulator runs. It produces output. The output looks plausible. But it's wrong. No warnings, no error messages, just incorrect results. Think about what that means for a second. If you've been validating quantum algorithms against these simulators, you may have been validating against phantom behavior. The gap between what you think your quantum code does and what it actually does becomes impossible to measure. This matters because simulators are the ground truth for early-stage quantum algorithm development. When you can't run your code on actual quantum hardware yet, the simulator is all you have. And if the simulator is lying to you silently, you're building on quicksand. The researchers found bugs across all 12 simulators they tested. Some produced mathematically impossible outputs. Others gave different results for the same input depending on how you structured the query. And nobody knew, because the output looked reasonable. The takeaway here? If you're working in quantum algorithm development, don't trust a single simulator, cross-validate against multiple tools, and even then, assume your ground truth might be wrong, because right now, it probably is. Right. Let me lighten things up a bit. Microsoft and Nvidia announced a partnership this week. They're deploying AI and digital twins across nuclear power projects. Now, I know what you're thinking. Nuclear and AI. What's the connection? Here's the thing, nuclear power has a massive infrastructure problem that nobody talks about, permitting and construction bottlenecks. Nuclear projects take 10 to 15 years from planning to operation. Most of that time isn't the actual building, it's regulatory approvals, environmental impact studies, safety reviews, mountains of paperwork. Microsoft and Nvidia are betting that AI can compress that timeline. Digital twins to simulate operational scenarios before you pour concrete. AI to analyze regulatory requirements and flag issues early. The idea is, if you can catch problems in simulation before they become real-world delays, you save years. And with the energy demands of AI data centers growing the way they are, nuclear is back on the table as a serious option. But only if you can make the economics work. And the economics don't work if every project takes 15 years, so this is Microsoft solving a problem they're about to have. They need reliable baseload power for their data centers. Nuclear provides that. But not if it takes a decade and a half to build. Cut that timeline in half, and suddenly the maths changes. Worth watching. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. There was a GeekWire AI summit this week, and the speakers got honest about something the industry doesn't talk about much, the true cost of AI adoption, startups running on subsidized credits from OpenAI and Anthropic, engineers burning $5,000 in tokens over a single weekend, and OpenAI shutting down Sora, their video generation tool, because it was costing $15 million a day to run, $15 million a day. One speaker used the term watermelon metrics, green on the outside, red on the inside. Companies showing impressive user growth and engagement numbers, but bleeding money on inference costs. The subsidized credits are masking the real economics. Teams build on GPT-4, they scale up, usage goes through the roof, and then the bill comes, and suddenly the unit economics don't work anymore. This is the bit that really matters. A lot of AI-first startups are going to hit a wall when the credits run out. They've built products that work brilliantly, but don't make money at scale, because the cost of inference is baked into every request. If you're building on someone else's API, you're building on someone else's cost structure. And if that cost structure changes, your business model changes with it. Full disclosure, I've been thinking about this all morning, because it raises a bigger question. What happens when the subsidies stop? Do we see a wave of AI companies pivot to cheaper models? Do we see a rush to on-device inference? Or do we just see a lot of shutdowns? I think it's all three. And we're about to find out which company's built for sustainability and which one's built for the demo. Last one. Teleport just released a report on AI security, and the headline number is brutal. Enterprises granting excessive permissions to AI systems experience 4.5 times more security incidents than those that don't. 4.5 times. Here's what's happening. Teams are deploying AI agents and giving them admin access because it's easier than figuring out the minimum permissions they actually need. Identity management hasn't kept pace with AI adoption in production. We're treating AI systems like trusted users, but they're not users. They're automated processes that can be compromised. And when an overprivileged AI system gets compromised, the blast radius is enormous. The report found that most enterprises don't even have visibility into what permissions their AI systems have. They granted access once during setup and never audited it again. So if you're running AI in production, this is your wake-up call. Audit your AI permissions, apply least privilege access, and assume that any AI system with database admin rights is a ticking time bomb, because statistically, it probably is. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The tools are getting better. AI test generation works now. Nuclear projects might actually get built faster, but the foundations, quantum simulators, AI economics, security practices, are shakier than we want to admit. We're building faster than we're building carefully. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.